basement, and now Senator Field. And he don't remember like I do. I know a lot of things that he and we went together all our life. Of course, and I'm about 2 years older than him. He ain't 90 yet. But he's in pretty bad shape. He's got a heart and the arteries and legs. He must be in the hospital.
Was there much prejudice against the Italians when they were first here?
Huh?
Was there much prejudice, a lot of hatred against the Italians?
Especially the cousin Jack and the Swiss. There was a lot of Swedes up there on the north side at first. They all moved up on the east side when the Italians started back. They all moved over the hill.
What kind of things did the Italians used to do for recreation? Like what kind of games and stuff?
They never used to do much of that. Sometimes they played as bocce balls, you know, go to the saloon and play bocce balls. Otherwise, they mostly go out hunting and something like that. Otherwise, they never had no other kind of recreation. They had gardens and stuff like that. They mostly were out in the woods.
I know a lot of them were miners, and they were working in the mines. But were there a lot of them that were merchants, had their own stores and taverns and stuff like that?
Well, there was a few that had saloons. They would call them saloons that time. I know that my uncle had a saloon. And, there was quite a few that had saloons up the north side, see. And a couple down the main street down Iron Mountain. One was De Concini. His son now is a senator in the United States from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Now they had a saloon downtown, just where about that, all the stuff burnt up there a week ago. Now there was quite a few saloons, and most of them were right there.
When did the Italians start getting out of the mines then and going into other jobs?
Well, the only time they went out of the mine, not very, very many, because they stayed right in the mine until they shut down. After that, they had to go to Fort Plant or some other place. But otherwise, the Italians, they stayed right in the mine. The ones that were working, very few went out. Once in a while, ones that get a little store or something like that.
When your father and and your family came over, why did he choose Boston to come to?
Huh?
Why did your dad choose to come to Boston first when he came over from Italy?
Well, I suppose one of his friends was over there. It's Joe Bruno. He was over there. He's right there, Italy. And then they started coming. See?
Did your parents have a hard time getting the papers not to come over? Or was it easy being able to come over?
Well, them times, I don't think they had much of a hard time getting it. Because when my father was here about a year, he sent for my mother, and of course, I was about 3 years old. My brother was about one. I flew up all the way across the ocean. 30 days on the ocean. That was something. I'm all over that by the ocean.
What were the conditions like on the boat? Do you remember? Remember your mom telling you, or do you remember what they were like?
Well, they were pretty rough. Pretty rough. It seems to me just like an old tub. They were all made out of wood that time. I threw up all the way across.
Once you got into New York, did you have much trouble getting through the immigration services and that?
Well, when we got to New York, I remember they were putting, you know, like a fence. A fence around, see? And I don't know how long we were there. Were there a day or hours? So my father come there and picked us out. Of course, that's they want to make sure you're in good shape.
Did they ever have any trouble? I know with some people, they changed their last names when they came over. They couldn't read them or something. But your name was kept the Was there much of a problem with people getting their names changed when they came to New York?
I never even thought.
Oh, okay. It's like sometimes they couldn't read what it was, so they would, the immigration people, you know, would just spell it.
Most of them couldn't read it right, you know. They would make it cross, like they do in the funny pictures now. My mother couldn't read. My father could read, right, but my mother couldn't read. None of my mother's family could read or write. In Italy, they always kept the girls from going to school if possible. I don't know why. They didn't know, and they didn't want to mix up with the boys and girls in one room like they do here. You know. They all were separate. See. But the very few women knew how to read and write.
When you came over, you were 3 years old, right?
Uh-huh.
And when did you start school then?
Huh?
How old were you when you started school then?
About 5 years old. Yeah. But down here, there's a new school here now. They used to call it Central School. Hmm. I used to live right across from
it. Where did they have, like, when you graduated high school around 1911, 1912? What year did you graduate high school? What year did you graduate high school?
I graduated in the sixth grade.
Oh.
And there was no more room for me. I didn't want to go to school. That's why I tried to work up that there. But yeah, I worked for the Masons. Mm. When I was 12 years old, carrying mud and bricks up on the school up on a hill there. 8 cents an hour. 10 hours a day. Boy, at the end of the week, I made $4.80. I thought that was a lot of money. And them days, $4.80 went a long way.
Especially if you were 12, especially like you say, you were 12 years old, that was, you know, a lot to have, I suppose.
My father, he was telling me I didn't want to go to school. I wanted to work and earn money. I couldn't get along with some of the kids down school. It was all, when I first went there, you know, we used to have clothes not like other people. And then the goddamn other kids was all come and chase me around. I'd have to stay way up the sidewalk, wait till they call everybody in, and then I'd go to school. That made it bitter for me. And there was a fellow by the name of Ragone, Joe Ragone. He was one of the tough guys, you know, from the kids, you know, but he was one of the toughest kids. He'd wait for me, and he'd start a fight. And I'd always be kind of afraid of him. One day I waited to wait till their school. Everybody went to school, then I went to school, and that bugger was waiting for me down in the bathroom. Boy, did I give him a licking. By that time, I got mad. I said, I am going to fight it out. I had a lot of friends after that. Even Cousin Jack. They come meet me. They make me play with all of them. Uh-huh. And I seen I licked the toughest guy. Before I give him a licking, but I said, when I got mad, I said, I was just kidding, you know.
Yeah.
He never bought me after that.
Did your brother make it through high school too then?
Huh?
Did your brother make it through high school? Your younger brother? Did he graduate from high school?
I don't think he did. I think he went up to the 8th grade and then he started working on the real. Right, Northwestern. No, I don't think he made it. The rest of them did. I had eight brothers. Two sisters. The rest of them all graduated. I'm the first one. I'm sorry I couldn't keep it up, but somehow or other I didn't want to go to school anymore.
Of course, back then it wasn't a big thing to graduate anyway. A lot of kids left early.
Well, everybody used to put some in the third grade. Some would go just to third grade, and not even that far. You remember Jack Andrews? He was a game warden here for years.
Oh, mm-hmm.
He only went to third grade. Then he got his job game warden, and he was a mayor for Iron Mountain for 4 or 5 years. Them kind of guys didn't have to go to school. His daughter did a good job. His father was chief of police.
When you lived on the north side, when you first got there, did they have electricity up there already yet?
No, they didn't have no electricity.
What?
We had kerosene lamps. On the corners, there was a kind of a cabin. Once in a while, there was a light there with a carbon light.
Mm-hmm.
There was no electricity. I remember when electricity came in. It came in maybe around 1900, something like that. Then they start getting electricity around the house.
But when did they start putting in the indoor plumbing?
Huh?
When did they start putting the indoor plumbing in?
Oh, gee, that ain't very long ago. We all had outside. When I moved to this house, I had my toilet right out here. And up north side, they all had outside. That's around 1920. 1921, they started putting in the sewers. I worked for Baco in 1921 when I didn't have no job putting in these sewers. There was hardly any plumbing at all. The bathtub was a wash tub.
When did the people start using the cars more then? Were the Italians able to afford to be able to buy cars and keep up cars in that?
Well, there's a couple had them, but the first one that had cars around here, that was around a little after 1900. Scavardi, you ever heard of Scavardi? He had a hardware store outside here. He was the first one that had a truck. He came to school and gave a lot of kids all a ride on the truck. That was something. And then it must have been around 1900, something like that, because that was one of the first trucks, and he was the first guy that had that. And then a few cars you saw, very seldom you saw a car. I was one of the first ones. In 1913, I got a model, second-hand Model T.
Do you remember how much it cost back then for one?
It cost about $1,000 for Model T. The one I bought for $250, but the engineer by the name of Carpenter, he was an engineer for the county. That was his car, and I bought it. Me and my brother together bought it for $250. It was gas light, the gas tank was on the running board. All the brass light, and two things to hold the top down, brass, you know. Yeah, we bought that for $250.
What kind of driver's license did you have to have?
Didn't have
no
driver's license at that time. Driver's license didn't come on for quite a while. Yeah.
Did they ever have any problem with car wrecks or anything like that?
Yeah, car wrecks, yeah. I wrecked that car right away. You know, the road was all sand, you know that. I wrecked it in 19, the same year I bought it, me and my brother. I was supposed to take a wedding couple there the first time there was a car, and I'm on church to get married, see. And I'm going up Fourth Street, see. And I got to make a turn up Fourth Street to go up to this house and pick up this couple. And the sand was deep. That time it was just a rod across the front wheel to twist. I hit that sand, I just turned the goddamn wheel into the telephone pole. Mark was still on the telephone pole, not very long ago, I see. Well, the axle hit it. You know, the axle was like a channel. Yeah. Broke the goddamn car. Cost me $66. $12 to tow it down to the end of the street. That's where there was a garage. The windshield was two plate glasses, you know.
What year did you get married then?
Huh?
What year did you get married?
I was married while I was in the Army. We were supposed to get married before I went to the Army. And I told my girl then, I said, we won't get married. I said, my number is coming up. I said, I'd rather not leave a widow. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm coming back. I went to the Army, and when the war stopped, supposed to have stopped on the 7th, you know, on the 7th day that the war was over. Our stuff was all on the Company Street, ready to get on the boat. I was on Long Island, see? So, then I got homesick. When the news come that the war wasn't over. It was just baloney, you know. They had said it was over and it wasn't. Well, I went to the captain. I says, "Captain," I says, "I want a furlough." And I had had a furlough just about 2 months before that, see? "Geez," he says, "you just had one." Well, I says, I got to have another one. I says, "I either get it or I'll take it." I can give him the ultimatum. So they reported me to the headquarters. And pretty soon the Major Duell, the head one, the headquarters, he sent for me. He sent for me and in a room right there, he got a secretary there, you know, a guy. And I told him who I was. And he told the guy to go up. He says, "I understand you're going to take a vacation, whether they give it to you or not." I said, "Yes." I said, "I got to have it." I said, I just got to have it. "Well," he says, "what reason have you got to got to have it?" He said, I says, "I can't tell you." I didn't want to lie to him, you know. He's got business across the room. "Well, Jesus," he says, "I can't give you a vacation unless I say you've got a good reason." He's got business across the room, and I'm standing there like a goddamn fool, you know. Finally, I thought, "Well, I'll tell him I'll get married." I says, "I'm going to get married." "That's a good reason," he says. So he says, "I can't give you a furlough because it takes time to rush that through. I'll give you 5 days," he says. "And when you get home," he says, "wire me and I'll give you 5 more. So, you know, I got on the train, just plain clothes. It didn't make no difference. I wasn't taking nothing along. I didn't intend to get married. But I said that, you know, didn't know what excuse to make. So we got on the train. We got every station we come to, this is on the 11th, when it actually happened. Every station we come to, there's bands out there playing and everything. We got to Pittsburgh, and the nigga come up to the window where I was and said, "The war's over." I said, "Shut up, you lost." I said, "The war ain't over. I got fooled for 3 days ago." "Yeah, the war is over," he said. But Jesus Christ, you know, as I go along, every station, a lot of celebrations going on. God damn it, now I said, I'm going to get married, so I ain't lying to the captain, you know. Left him home, took my wife and her father, and we went to, I said I was going to get married in Niagara Falls. So, what the hell is that name there, who's Niagara Falls? It ain't Falls, I don't know. Buffalo. I went to Buffalo, and there went to Fort Austin. I got the piece that was in the paper that I was married. I sent it to the captain. He had already given me 5 days. I said, "I'd like to have 5 days more to get my things straightened up here." "No," he says, "I'll give you 2 days. 2 days more." But that's when I got married. A month before, I got this guy from Indiana. And that way, I hadn't lied to him in a way, you know, because at first I'd lied because I wasn't positive I was going to get married. I wouldn't be going to get married if the war was over. But when the war was over, I said, "Well, I'm going to make it real now." So we got married. So that was my big downfall. I married for 54 years and I lose my wife. See me in the uniform there? That's my sister over here, and that's her brother, young Tyler. Yeah.
How many children did you have then?
We had 7. We had 8. The first one died at 18 months. I was working in mine then. Just come and beat me halfway up the mine. I was only working about 18 months. He got scarlet fever and a super. Now scarlet fever. As bad as a cold. Mm-hmm. At that time, scarlet fever used to take them like flies they could drop. Flies we lost. So I got 4 girls, and, excuse me, sit down. Okay. 4 girls and 3 boys.
This is your son here? On the end?
In know him? Mm-hmm. That's my youngest boy. He's teaching down Mantua.
Oh, I'm sure. It seems to me I've met him before.
Yeah. It's Joe Jr. He'll be 38 years old in June. And he's the youngest. He comes up here quite often. He might come up here tomorrow night. All depends on him. He's got four boys now.
How old is your oldest one? How old is your oldest boy?
Huh?
How old is your oldest child?
He'll be 1921.
61?
He'll be 51 years old in June. Mm. In June 18, he'll be. This is the oldest one right here. This is the second one. He's on a vacation. He's here with me, but he's building a house up here on the Menominee River. But he's on a vacation. He went on a vacation right now. This is my oldest daughter, right?
Were there many Italian music bands around? In the early days, were there many bands around, Italian music bands? The Italian music bands in that? Were there many? Well, the Italian music instruments and music bands, musical bands, you know.
Oh, yeah. My brother, Frank, he was in an orchestra for a long time. He lives over here on Hugh Street right now. Another brother, he had an orchestra. He was in California. He died. George. Another brother died. He used to play the banjo. My brother that came with me from Italy, he used to be in a band, play a slide trombone. They're pretty all musical except me. I used to play the mouth organ. My father was a musician. He used to play any goddamn instrument with me. He'd just get a hold of it and he could play right away. He just played in. In all kinds of churches in Boston. They used to get him and a couple of other guys with a mandolin and a guitar, and my father used to play the accordion. He didn't know what a concertina was when he come here. It was a concertina. There was a fellow across from our house up north side just playing concertina. So he went down there right away. He started right out of the bat, played that concertina as if he had played all his life. And then he bought two or three of them.
Did your dad ever play in any bands around here?
Huh?
Your dad ever play in any music groups around here?
I can't hear that.
Did your father ever play in any music bands around here? Did he ever play with any groups?
Oh, no, he didn't play anywhere around here. In Boston, they were, before we come, they had a trio they used to do. And the Protestant church used to call them, they used to like, they used to play, they used to play anything in Italian, and geez, they clapped for them. They're glad to get him. I had to put it up there. Only come here. He used to go and pay for a lot of weddings, Either according to the country. The people used to buy a lot of money on them. They charge them. Especially the Germans and the Austrians, they used to have big time. He'd go and pay, and every once in a while they come and dump money in a hat and give it to them, see? They're pretty good to them.
Do you know, have there ever, in the early days, like in your time, have there ever been any famous Italians from this area that have gone on to become famous or, pretty big?
You mean in some musical department?
In anything.
The only one I can think of, they can see me, that's all. The rest of them are just humble and made of people like me. The only one I can think of. There's only, of course, he was the only kid when he was up here. It would be good. He had a damn good part that he didn't give him any credit, But here they all kept him down. I know, I was a hoisting engineer for a while, before I went to the Army. kind of fella. He's still alive. He's over here. Name, they call him Chippy Jones. You ever hear of him? Anyway, he's younger than me, quite a bit younger, maybe about 20 years younger. I was running this hoist, you see. And it was a nice job. I used to lure the men, pull them up, and then sometime they... It wasn't the hoist on the big hoist, you know. They was going down deeper in the mine, and I'd hoist up the dirt, and they'd fill a car, and I'd hoist up, and I'd have to dump it in the chute. Which was easy. Someday they'd have it. Someday they wouldn't have to do nothing. And I wasn't doing nothing. So when they didn't have nothing, I just clean up the engine or something like that. Fast time. So about 2 years after I had this job for 2 years, the boss that was running the men down the mine, he comes to me. He says, of course, he says, I've got this money. He says, you might as well train him in case you don't have to. You stay home or something, we got somebody to take your place. Okay. You send this Chippy Jones up to me. I had to climb up the ladder. You know, my hoist was down in the mine. I was send up the ladder and I had to climb up there about 30, 40 feet. And I showed it. I stayed there for 3 days. And I come down one morning and we're sitting down before it's time to go to work. And along comes the boss. They had figured out that since Chippy Jones' old man was a diamond drill boss, you see, and another cousin Jack was a master mechanic boss. So they fixed it up so they could squeeze me out of there and put Chippy Jones there, see. And a fellow by the name of Steve James was the captain. He was a square man. He was a square shooter. He was an engineer before for the iron mining company. Then they gave him the job as captain. So I'm sitting there, and we had a fellow by the name of Carbonelli that was tramer boss down there, see? And Carbonelli says, you know, I says, I ain't got the job no more. I says, Fritz Strand took me off and put Chippy Jones there. I says, I ain't going to start working. I says, I'm going to wait for the captain. Good, he says, we'll wait for the captain. You knew that I was being pushed out of the job. So a little while after, Fritz Strand, he was a sweet, you know, he come by me and he just went right in a drift. You know. And pretty soon I said, the captain come by. And he says, good morning, Joe. Good morning. Yeah. So he said, I said, captain, I says, I lost my job. How come? I told him. I said, if I'd done anything wrong, I said, if I'd done anything wrong, I wouldn't say anything. But I said, I didn't do nothing wrong. Now he took me off and put Jones there. He says, who did that? I said, Fred Strand. He says, I'll have a talk with Fred. So we're sitting down on this bench. He sat down alongside us. Pretty soon, Fred Strand's candle was coming out, the light coming out. From there. Here, it's all lit up over there, electric. Steve James is a big guy. He's about maybe how tall are you? 6 foot. No, he's taller than that. He's about 6 foot, 3 foot. Well, good. He says, Fred, he says, I think you made quite a change down there. Like that. What do you mean? He talked about Swede, you know. He says, I see you took Corsi off of the hoist and put somebody else there. He says, I think you better send Corsi back up there. Fred ran in front of tell me, you go up there and tell Chippy Jones to come down, see? So any time I had nothing to do up there sometimes, it's cold, so one day Fred come by there, the ladder comes right down by my place, and I said, Fred, I said, you want anything done around here? I said, I'd like to do something here. I said, when I ain't got much, I ain't your boss, he said. You got it that time, you know. Well, about a year after, I had to go to the Army. So I had to go and see Captain James. And he had this here place was going down to the 18th level, 1,800 feet. And that was a week before, I said, I want to take the week off before I go to the Army. Well, Joey says, I'm going to shut that place down in about a week. Why don't you stay the rest of the week? Because this is that. I'd like to have a few days leisure. Finally, he said, okay. So I went off and shut it down then. When I come back from the Army, my pictures, we had my picture. And my soldiers told my brother gave my picture, he had it in his office. He liked me, he was a star guy. Then I got that mindset down. We had to put in sewers here, you know, 1921. And I got a job with Bacco. My brother had a job downtown, putting in the sewer, what they call the manhole. So I was pretty good at woodwork, but not no smart guy. So I told Bacco, he had a job for me. He said, why don't you take a job up north side putting in a manhole like your brother got downtown? I said, that's all right. So he gave me cement, and I was supposed to supervise it, you know. And I put in the things that were already made, the forms, you know. And I fit them in, basically. So I got that job, and I was pretty damn good. You know, easy, you see. So I got that job. And I worked there. And I was getting 50 cents an hour a day more than the other guy. That was, them days was lots of money. I was getting $3.50, and the guy was getting $2 a day. So the next spring, in December, I got a job down the Ford plant. 21st of December, 1921, I got a job down the Ford plant. So in the spring, Bacco starts up again. He come and call me. They used to take me over the house. You heard of Medio Bacco. They used to be big contractors around it. They used to take me over the house and read the blueprints. I used to read the blueprints pretty good. And so in the spring, John Bacco asked me to come back. I said, John, I'm making $6 a day now. I said, I can't pay that. Well, I said, geez, I hate to disappoint you, John, but I can't quit that job to come to work for $3.50. They wanted me back, see. And I think if I'd have stuck with them, I'd have had a good job, because they used to let me go, and they used to give me their car. If I want to go fishing, take the car anytime you want. They're pretty good to me.
How was the working conditions in the Ford plant? How were the working
conditions? Oh, they were terrible down there, you know. If you wasn't good with the bosses, you were out. There was no union. I got laid off there after I was there about 10-12 years. I got laid off. They laid off not because I was no good. The boss didn't like me. A lot of guys used to feed the bosses, let them go with their wives and everything. You know? But I wasn't that kind of a guy. You know? So one day the last time they laid me off, 1932, I think. And a fellow by the name of Perini was head one down there. So I didn't know the guy, but they claimed he was special. He was not that young. So they laid me off. And I was one of the best men right there. I was middle right there. So I was one of the best men right there. They all liked me, and I used to know my work. So I'm laid off. So I knew what the hell was going on. You know. They had all the guys that were the head guys were Masons. You know. I tried to join the Masons. You know. I got blackballed 3 different times. All the guys that had boss job down there were Masons. No matter how, if they were no good, they had a boss job. I went down there after I was laid off. I hadn't got my time yet. I went down there and I seen the head guy on that. And I said to him, I argued for a while. And I said, those troubles here, I said, I got hurt here. And I did get hurt. I had a rupture from there. And I said, every boss here belongs to Masons, I said. And I said, if you ain't a Mason, you can't hold a bloody job around here. I said, I'm going to wait for Perini to come down and talk to him about it. So we got talking with a fellow by the name of Tom. Tom Holmes, he was hiring the guy. And I'm talking to him, and he told him what I was going to do. And I'm down there all dressed up, and I wasn't dressed up for work. Pretty soon, master mechanic came over here, named Bill Thomas. And Chester Tadui, probably heard of Chester Tadui. He go originally from Norway, Tadui. I don't know if he died or not here last week. No, it wasn't him that died. He's living down here. He's about 95 right now, living down here. They start walking towards these stores here, you know, the roof up. Chester Tadui is kind of a foreman, and this Bill Thomas is the head foreman. Hey, Corsi, what are you doing here? He said, why ain't you working? I said, you laid me off. Now you want me to work? Oh, hell, he said, we never laid you off. Go home, put on your clothes, come back to work. Sons of bitches, you know, they were afraid I'm going to see Perini because the head guy told me that I was waiting for Perini. So I had to go back to work. But then next time they laid off about 2,000, I was there, I was going to.
How much longer did you have your job then because of that? How much longer did you work?
A couple of years more than the plant. There was about 7,000 people at that one time, you see. The plant was going up down. So they laid off about 2,000, and I was amongst the 2,000. I couldn't shake them, see. But, then I got, and I had this goddamn rupture. Every time I go to the hospital, the doctor says, shall we fix it up? I says, go ahead and fix it up. I wasn't kicked on the other side. Then he said, well, we let it go. Every time I go up there, let it go. So when I was laid off, I still had it. And when they started making gliders, they started hiring men again. And they were hiring mostly veterans if they could get them, you know. God damn it, they didn't hire me on account of that goddamn rupture, see. So I only got the rupture fixed by myself, I didn't. Dr. Smith, New York, they were done. Then when I wrote them, I had the rupture fixed, then they hired me when they called me. And I got another rupture there about a year after. They put me in a paint shop where you had a rolling gear barrel that weighed 500-600 pounds or more. I got another, that was a bad one. So I stayed there until 1947, 48, when they started making wagons. They put me back in the paint shop. See. I knew how to mix paint. Paint the holes in that. Nobody else knew not much about it. Of course, that was a hell of a place to work. It stink like that, you know, but it was easy work. So I stayed there, got laying off men again after when they shut her down. One day the boss come to me. Name was Mitchell. Joey says, I got a letter. They left there from the day shift. I was carrying mail then, see. I had a job, a little job, carrying mail on the outside, see. And I was only making about $75 a month on that, and I had to pay my own car expenses. Of course, $75 to me, that meant they had a family, you know. I couldn't let nothing survive. So somebody from the day shift, some big boss, to watch me. But I didn't see it. I didn't know nothing about it. So this Mitchell called me in one morning. I was always night shift. See. I asked for a job staying night shift. A fellow by the name of John Servia. You ever heard of John Servia? He died now. He was the head boss down at the number one body plant. When I went there, I was supposed to see him. I said, John, I said, how about a job night shift? He said, you want a job night shift? No, nobody wanted a job night shift. But get night shift, you stay for night shift, always, see. Yeah, I said, I'd like that. They said, you come out 11 o'clock, working the paint shop. That's how I got the job, night shift, then I could work on the house, you see. So anyway, I got the goddamn job, and I learned so much about it, then they started laying off men, laying off men. And pretty soon there was only a few left, and I was there, and the head of the union was kicking because the guys was kicking that I was working it, and there were a lot of younger fellows than me getting laid off, see? And the bosses had an excuse day that nobody knew my job. I worked one extra month on account of that. See, then I had to train another guy in to take my job. I got off, see?
hard for you? In the beginning, was it hard for you to make it sometimes because you were Italian? Was it ever hard for you to make it sometimes because you were Italian? I mean, would you have had an easier time if you had been a Swede or a Cousin Jack?
You mean if I had
Like, if you had been another nationality, would it have been a lot easier for you, you think?
Well, I used to get along with them, you know. As a kid, you know, we grew up together. Well, I used to get along with them. It was the older ones I didn't get along with. You know, I got along pretty good with them after a while. We all grew up together after a while. We went to school together, you know. In fact, two of my closest chums here, we fished together. They died here about 2 or 3 years ago. His name was Clemens, two brothers. And I had a fellow by the name of Ray Burt. He died here. He came from Lower Michigan. He bought a house out there, and then he died. Him and his wife both died here. And his wife was in my room with me when I was in third grade. Well, I got along with him all the way back to life. Even now, I get along. Now we're all the same now.
Well, I guess that's about it. I guess that's about it, but I appreciate you.
I'm sorry, you know, I can't think of a lot of things unless I run into
it. No, wait. You've given me a lot of good information today. And, you know, there's no place else I could get some of this stuff, you know, except for being
sorry,
able to talk to
you. Got to talk louder than me, brother. That's the price I pay for getting old, huh?
That's okay. Though. You still got, you know, your hearing might be bad, but you still got your health and you're able to go out fishing. You know?
A hell of a lot of help. You know how many operations I had?
How many?
I had 11 operations. My belly here looked like an old railroad track. Sure. Now the seams are going down, but otherwise I was all cut up.